Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Thanks for listening.
Very exciting day today. This person writes, Michael Russell. Hello, Keith. Thank you for continuing the dialogue about drinking. Last night was my last drink. And tonight will be my last drink. And you helped me think about the why of my drinking. For me, my relationship with liquor is a replacement for actual connection with people. Thanks for keeping me thinking, Michael.
Wow.
Look at that. Huge. Today, we'll talk about some of your favorite topics, drinking, separation. It'll be a good day. Keith and Akenda. I'm 23, bi girl, 34 double Ds, and I give a big, non-stinky, potpourri-filled poop about this email. So we know that she gives a shit. I'm writing to say thank you. Every day I use half my lunch break to walk around with the Keith and the Girl show in my ears. No matter what, it changes my mood for the better. Even when you talk about serious subjects, it just reminds me that we're all the same and it helps me laugh at my own problems. It dawned on me that you provide a different kind of food for me on my lunch break, and today I finally bought VIP membership. I see it as buying you lunch once a month while you provide me joy every day. Team KTG for life, Kim Green. Well, thank you, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
Today's guest, Kim, I got a treat for you. This guy's been on Comedy Central, Conan O'Brien. He hosts the show Celebrate on Sirius Raw Dog 99 and the host of the podcast Defend Your Movie with Farrah Brook, which I myself find having to do a lot of times. People don't understand. Caddyshack 2 was the better one. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Donnelly.
Hello there. How are you guys?
I'm good, Sean. Sean, it's been a while. It's been.
It has. Do you have a record of when I was here last?
I absolutely do.
Oh, wow.
Last time he was supposed to be here, I was busy with my tumor and we had to cancel.
That's right.
Yeah.
And everything's okay now.
Oh, everything's okay.
Okay, good. Well, or at least that's okay. Now, maybe not everything's okay, but that's okay.
The tumor is somewhere else and that's A-okay.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Thank you.
How are you, by the way? Let's do a health update.
I just have to get a lot of tests. Myasthenia gravis, which is an autoimmune thing that like kind of numbs and pains my arms at the same time, kind of flares every here and again. I have some stomach issues. I could feel myself breathing differently. But honest to God, I feel fucking rocking amazing.
That's great.
Does that make sense?
No, but good. You're happy and that makes sense.
As long as you're happy.
Yeah, I ride my bike like 50 to 70 miles a week. I walk all the time. Yeah, yeah. So like there's, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to be like 100% person, but I'm like in my 40s and I'm, you know, I got a tumor removed with an open heart surgery and I could still do things.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You're good to
go. That's amazing.
Now me and Sean feel bad.
Yeah.
Now we don't have tumors. We're not looking at bikes.
Why do we feel so crummy and we don't have tumors?
Last time you were on, July 28th, 2011.
Whoa.
Soon after the famed 9/11. Episode 1432, entitled Money Talks. Of course, you can go to keithandthegirl.com/guest, look up a guest, and you'll see all the times they were on in the past. And Sean Donnelly, I look at show notes.
And we also set up a keithandthegirl.com/Sean Donnelly. So you can always reference your favorite guest by their name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If your favorite guest is Sean Donnelly.
If you don't type in Sean Donnelly, if it's Mike Kaplan is your favorite guest.
It takes so much work. We stopped at Sean Donnelly. Okay, here's in show notes. Off the market, Sean Donnelly is pooping a brick because he's getting married in 7 days.
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh, this is so ironic.
So it's now 6 years later, and Sean, congratulations. Nothing. Nothing is more thrilling than being able to share the love you have. You know what I say love is? Love is love reflected. Let me explain what I mean by that. The love you give to that special other person only comes back fourfold to you because you're able to circulate such beautiful joy.
Right. I see Sean is drinking out of a red cup, hoping that it's beer right now.
Sean, what am I saying here?
You're saying that love is love. And that's very ironic that was the topic of the last thing because now I'm very newly, like the scab is not healed, very newly separated. Mm. So that's very weird that's what's going on, that this is what's happened.
Have you said that out loud into a microphone, into anything?
Not into a microphone. I've done jokes on stage, I tried out jokes on stage, but no, not into a podcast microphone.
Is that how you tell your comedy friends, which is what we mostly have, and they hear you on stage and they go, buddy, is that real or just a joke?
Yeah, that's what happened. So I did it on stage, and then people go, is that for real with that? Like, do you know Mindy Tucker, the photographer, of course?
To the stars.
Yeah, she saw me do a joke the other day, and she goes, is that stuff for real, the separation stuff? And I go, yeah. She goes, oh, I'm sorry I had to find out that way. I'm like, well, what am I going to tell you?
I'm sorry, that's how you deal with things, weirdo.
It's almost like you can't deal with reality.
So you talked about your separation and explained what it'd be like if you were on a dragon on Game of Thrones. I don't know what's what with you, but all right, you seem okay.
Yeah, so that's very ironic that I'm here again right at the end
is
of
it,
things.
Or is it the universe?
It might be. I think it is. You're kidding, but I actually believe that it might be a little bit of a universal retribution. What would you call that? A full circleness?
So I'll tell you what, it's not the universe, because we're still here in the universe, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, I just watched an alien documentary on Netflix, so mm-hmm. I'm all about the universe right now. So I just watched Unacknowledged.
So the universe had you on 6 years ago.
The universe, yes. That's who booked me.
Our booker's the universe.
The Milky Way booked me.
And then the universe has you back today, so everything comes full circle. Now, you were supposed to come earlier when the relationship had a chance. The universe gave Henda a sickness so that you couldn't come on yet.
You know, it's like the universe, the booking of this show is the Lost Island. That's what it is. Because the Lost Island, that's what it was like. It would like do things. It would like cure tumors and stuff. That's what it is. So what it did was it kept me from coming back so that the relationship could end, so I could come back now when it's done.
That's the way we like it, actually.
That's what you want.
Yes, yeah. Yes. What's funny is there are people who have definitely, you know, we reached out and we're like, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. Why don't you stop by the show? And they're like, I can't because I'm separated and I'm not telling people yet. And I know that I can't speak on your show unless I'm coming from 100% truth. And so they wait a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Or I can't. I just, you know.
Well, I'll tell you the 100% truth of it is it's not I haven't been separated for 6 months. It's literally a very new thing. I don't know what's going to happen. There's a chance it will get fixed, but I don't know. I have no idea.
Who announced it?
What do you mean?
Who sent out the invites to your separation?
who made the move? Hey, we got to separate.
Well, to be honest, what happened was we planned a trip. I planned a trip to California, and then my wife was like, hey, I'll come out for a week while we're there. We should do a trip while we're out there. We went to Joshua. Out of all cliche things to do, we went to Joshua Tree,
right,
in the middle of the desert, and we got to Joshua Tree on our trip, and it was kind of awkward already, and we had a pizza out in Joshua Tree, which actually is surprisingly good pizza, and we ate it, and afterwards I was like, well, we want to talk about it. And we were like, we could talk about us, and within the first 10 minutes, we were like, I think if we can't work it out, we should end it. And we both were like, it was like a weight lifted off. That was a couple months ago. That was a few months ago. But since then, it's been going back and forth. And then I've only been out of my apartment for like last Friday is when I left.
And where do you stay?
I'm at my mom's in Long Island for like a month. And then I'm going to get my own spot.
That doesn't make you want to work it out?
No, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, it does. I went after 4 days. I was like, I love you. Let's do this. I'll get back together with you.
It sounds like there wasn't like, it sounds like you were just bickering and fighting for a while. And there wasn't, did somebody like, no, quote, fuck up?
No, you know what? It was pretty, it sounds crazy to say nobody believes this, but like it's amicable. Like it just kind of, it's one of those things where we started leading separate lives. We felt like roommates more than anything. We felt like friends more than anything. And then we weren't bickering at all. That was actually kind of the problem. There was no, like, we kind of were doing our own thing because I would go away for comedy and she has her own acting stuff in the city and we wouldn't see each other enough to really get into it. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of took its toll. And then we kind of realized and we both weren't happy and we're like, we got to do something about it. So that's why we put this in place.
What were you guys like when you did come together?
It was, when we did come together, we were like hanging out more, knew more about each other, what was going on with each other.
No, no, no. I mean like, because you're like, she goes away for this, I go for that. And then you get together. When you are in the same room, what's it like?
Oh, right now?
Mm,
in general, right, you mean after we decided this or before I left?
Right before you broke up.
It totally fine. It was like that kind of thing where we weren't screaming at each other or anything like that. It was like we were totally cool. And actually, it was probably the most mature. I'm not a mature guy, but it was probably the most mature thing I did because we kind of just, we would just talk. We talked about it. We were talking about it very matter of fact. Like, it was a bummer, but we definitely were honest about it, and it wasn't bickering. Basically, it was like we actually were pretty thoughtful about it.
As someone who also just moved out last Friday or something like that, this is very creepy.
I relate to Sean completely. We could, if you looked right before we went our separate ways, you would see us on the couch holding each other, watching a movie. It was pretty comfortable, but we were definitely in a friend zone.
Right.
Now, do you guys, and this is, you know, so weird for me to ask, do you think like this is a wave and in the next wave, one of us, like we can spark something, or have you tried a bunch of waves?
Well,
does that make sense? Like,
no, this is like the first big wave. Like, we've tried other waves where we talk about stuff, but like to actually be separated is the first like, whoa, this is like rocking the foundation of what's going on.
Can I tell you why it surprised me that you said that? Not because I think like all couples can tell me that. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, 50% of you will fuck up, right? Like something will happen. So whatever, it happens, it's a wave of life. But you guys had this like mail slot system where you put thoughts and like memories in it, and then you read it once a week or once a day, or I don't know. Didn't you have this? I was once like over your place. It was right before you got married. You showed me the system that you guys had.
No, that was a thing. The idea she got from somewhere where it was a jar, and you put like big memories from the year in, and on New Year's Eve you read them out loud. And as like a fun thing, not like as like a let's keep tabs on what's going on.
Oh no, I thought it was like as a nice. It was sounded very romantic. It sounded like you guys shared a lot, chatted a lot. Did that continue to happen? That jar thing.
Yeah, we did the jar thing the past couple of years. We've only done it. You must have been at my house fairly recently. We've done it the past like few years, I think. And yeah, we did it this past year as well, I believe. We would do stuff. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's not what you would think. Like we still love each other. It's just a matter of, like you said, it's a friend zone situation right now. I don't know what the separation will bring out. I don't know if it will do that spark that you're talking about. I'm hoping it does.
How long have you been the total? Married, the whole thing.
Dating, married, the whole time, 9 years.
Okay. Because I'm trying to figure out if the 7-year itch is like a real thing. Does it start around there and then you're in denial?
They say 7 or 10, right?
7 or 10. Yeah, it makes sense to me. I think after a while. Also, when we first got together, we had much different lives. I was 30 years old when we got together. I'm 39 now. I was 30. I was doing open mics. I was home. I was around every weekend. I was around, like, if I didn't have spots, like bar show spots or whatever. And then the more I started working, that made it difficult. And the more, just over time, like, just time took its toll. Like, I think it was relationship stuff plus our lives changing that did it.
Do you feel weird talking about this right now?
Yeah, I do a little bit. But I'm being honest. So, you know, I don't feel that weird about it.
Is she the same age?
She's a few years younger than me.
Younger than you?
Yeah.
And you were 30. How much younger?
3 years. I think she's 36.
That's the same age.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically the same age. But I mean, like, technically.
And you've been not in the same, living in the same place for days?
Days. This past Friday.
Is that enough time for you to miss her?
Yes. For me, it is. For me, after 3 days, I was like, yeah, I miss her. Because we were like cut off contact for the most part. Right. Yeah.
And then what, it sounded...
So you guys are not chatting back and forth?
Over like, what did she email? She emailed me about apartment stuff today. So like, over that kind of stuff. Not like, hey, how are you? Not checking in.
But apartment stuff to help you out? Like, hey,
no, apartment stuff like what we're going to do about our apartment that we have now. Okay. Yeah. So like basic stuff. And then also, but it would be fine if we checked in. I was just trying to keep it separate so we knew what it felt like. So I didn't want to like check in and be like, hey, how are you? If I wanted to like make it like, okay, we're actually, this is separate, so we both know how it feels.
Keith, you guys are not really doing that, right?
And then, what specifically?
You guys are chatting every day.
We talk here and again, not every day, but we talk here and again. I know she did that build a business some time ago. Remember this? Juan rang the bell at the New York Stock Exchange for a Spotify contest. Went to the Gatsby Mansion. Well, I know she just won. a bigger one, build a bigger business. Yay, congrats. So we are in touch.
Wait, so you guys, wait, she did that after you got separated?
This other thing came after, yeah.
So you didn't know that it was in the works before you got separated, or you knew that she was going to enter?
This happened before and after. Oh, she won twice. Once while they were married, once while they were separated.
Oh, wow, okay.
But I didn't really know much about the goings-on of the second one, meaning we definitely communicated less and less.
Right. That's kind of where we were at. Like, it was just a growing apart kind of thing. It's pretty run of the mill, but it's also like we weren't like having throwdown arguments, and then, you know, so it, you know, the way it is now, it's like it makes sense, but also I'm hoping that maybe it will shake something up, but it might not, but it'll make it easier. If it ends, it'll make it easier for that to happen.
Is this weird to ask you guys? Because I feel like when I break up with relationships, I usually like kind of rebound right away, because that there's a tension that happens right before you break up that, like, my way of dealing with it is food or sex, you know? Do you guys have that kind of thing?
The only thing I did was I downloaded apps and then I looked at what they looked like, but I didn't, not really, no. I didn't have a crazy.
And you looked at what they looked like?
I didn't know. We were together before
dating all those, apps.
Before dating apps.
Oh, dating apps. I see.
Dating apps, yeah. Not like regular, anything. not like Seamless Web.
Right.
Like,
she wouldn't let me have any apps, so I downloaded a bunch of apps. Yeah.
So I downloaded them just to check out what they looked
did
like.
Did any of them look attractive to you?
It seems crazy to me. Those, like, I'm pre-swiping apps, and I looked at it and I tried it and I was like, oh no, I don't know about this. It's too nuts. It's insane. It's like the fast food of dating. It's really crazy.
I wish I was with Dan at the time. At the time, and he downloads the app, but I have it rigged where he swipes left and then you hear. He's like, what the fuck? I'm like, did you swipe left? I was thinking the name, Dan, because I was on your podcast some time ago.
And yeah.
You did it with Dan St. Germain, right?
Yes.
And there was a dog in the apartment. Whose apartment was I in?
That was my apartment.
Who has the dog now?
It's with me in Long Island.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that a question, or it's going to be your dog?
No, we have to figure it out. We're still figuring that out.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of those up in the air type things.
My ex says, you know,
you have a dog?
We have two dogs, and said, you know what, we can share the dogs. I'm like, do I want the older dog or the younger one I can teach? And I failed the test right away. It's like, no, I meant joint custody.
No, I meant we cut them both in half, right.
Yeah, what's that, the King Solomon thing? Yeah.
So I got a place that doesn't accept pets and went, oh boy.
Oh, yeah. Right. So she has the dogs.
She has the dogs. She wants the dogs. I don't want the dogs to be our lifeline.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, give us a little, no matter what's happening.
How old are the dogs?
Let's take a break. They're young.
Like 4 and 1?
Probably like 4 years and 1 year.
Oh, they're young. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate to confuse the dogs.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You're joking, but they really do know.
When I start dating, I can't let let on to the dogs just yet until everybody's comfortable.
The dogs will know. They'll figure it out. What is going on?
Do you miss the puppies? Is it weird?
No, I'm good.
Oh, so they weren't your dogs.
They absolutely were, and I loved them, but it is what it is, so maybe I'm trying not to think about it too, but it's okay. They're dogs. They're having fun.
Did you not catch the death stare he gave me? Yeah, I'm thrilled to death that they're not with me.
I have a yard now in my new place,
and they still don't allow pets.
And they don't allow pets.
Oh, wow.
I got excited.
That stinks.
The dogs would come over. They know the dad is better. I'd have all the toys. Now I can't do any of
give
that.
Give them whatever they want.
Man, there's no dog mind games.
You might go, milk bones. Right. Like, yes.
Take this bacon with you. I'll see you around town. You know?
Who wants chocolate?
But I do agree with your chocolate. It's like, oh, that didn't work out too well. I do agree with the whole idea of, like, you're probably, like, if the dog had to go away, it's like out of sight, out of mind. I'd probably rather that than having them go back and forth to two different apartments.
Well, what's weird is she walks the dogs in front of my house.
Oh, that's how close you are? Oh. you look outside, there's all the dogs and her just getting a death stare from the street.
And when I start walking down the steps, they answer the door, they're gone. They just see me through the window.
The dogs ring and run your house. Right.
Now, it sounded like you were saying, tell me if I caught this right, maybe you're into going back and then she's not and vice versa. Is that happening?
Yeah, it goes back and forth. Yeah, absolutely. So right now, I don't know what. I think it's good for us to just be separated right now. But I don't know. But I do. I don't know if it's because I'm back at my mom's house for a month and I'm like, I have to get out of here. Or if it's I'm walking around. I just don't like the feeling of it right now. But it's so new. That's why also.
Right.
So I was telling you before, like before we started, I was like, I'm a routine person. I get very comfortable in the spots that I'm in. Like I have to be. Mm-hmm. And I was very comfortable in the home that we had and the situation that we had. So, when you shake that up.
Yeah, but I was comfortable with a tumor in my chest for years.
Some things need removed, she said.
Yeah, some things, yeah. That's a different story. Yeah, right. But yeah, you're right. So it's like I have to get used to what's going on and and have a new routine. You know, that's basically what it is.
Who asked to give it another chance first? You or her?
I did.
Okay.
I said, well, no, with the separation, we were like, we don't know what's going to happen. Both of us were like, we don't know what's going to happen. But I think I was like, let's hang out during the separation. Let's do this. And that's not even decided yet because that's not even an official separation yet. We haven't even put the paperwork in.
Right.
Do you think you'll do... It's so interesting that the government wants paperwork for a separation. It sounds like a lot of money.
What is that? Yeah. What is the point of getting a signed separation if you're not going for a divorce?
No. Well, that's the thing. We probably will.
Okay.
So, but... So you do it anyway legally. What it does is it makes divorce easier. Because I think if you don't do it, it makes divorce really expensive. I mean, divorce is way more expensive. But if you do it and you're separated legally for a year and then you go for divorce, it makes it way easier. Because I think it's basically proof of concept. It's like it's like you put the time in, whatever.
Don't you feel like divorce should be 10 cents?
Absolutely.
Get the fuck out of
here. If it's amicable, yeah.
Get out of. If it's not amicable, it should stay longer. Jesus, get the fuck out of there.
Well, no, but if you're not, they're not doing the, back and forth as far as assets. When people have actually have assets.
Are there any assets that you are like, this one's going to be mine?
She wants my gym bag.
She told me, she was like, you can have all the technology. I'm like, all right, cool.
Oh, wow.
So I get my TV, my Xbox and all that stuff. Yeah. But I don't, I'll have to get a bed and a couch and all that.
Yeah, she was like, you get all the technology. Probably the reason we broke up. Look how excited you got when you brought up your Xbox. That's not telling at all. Keith, how's your Xbox doing?
I got the Xbox. She gets to keep that Final Fantasy game I got her.
Just to look at it. Just to look at the package.
That's up to her. Whatever she wants to do. We had this, we had guests at our wedding fill out some kind of note that we would open in 5 years. We made it to 4 years. I'm looking forward to opening it. I'm going, idiot. Next.
You guys look so happy. Wrong.
It's hard. It's a hard thing, man. It's really hard.
Have you cried?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I went to a wedding and that did it.
Ooh,
I went to a wedding and I...
You're so wrong.
No, I'm the romantic that's like, this is amazing.
Why can you do it? Is Sean heckling us?
Yeah. What's happening right now?
He catches the bouquet, knocks over these women like bowling pins.
Just tackle them.
Elbows to the face.
230 pounds, just right down the middle. So I literally, for the first hour of it, I was like a wreck. And then I was like, okay, I'm good. Mm. So yeah, I have cried. Sure. Yeah. Big time. Oh yeah.
Anybody looking at?
And I'm not saying it's trying to be a tough guy. I don't cry. I don't usually cry at all. So yeah, I've cried a few times off this.
You got to call her when you're crying. How does she know?
He's sending her this file.
I send Snapchats of me crying. I just send boomerangs.
This episode will be...
Tears going up and down.
This episode will be called Sean is Crying.
Sean is crying.
Did either of you tell the other one to start dating?
No. No.
Because my ex is pushing it. Like
she's bringing
in an
girls.
Odd way. No, she's saying.
She's having girls ring and run your house.
Yeah. I was told to visit. You swiped right. What? And then Catherine's driving away.
Have fun. How does that get brought up?
Are you dating? No. You can if you want.
Is she dating?
She can if she wants.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. She yeah. can if she wants. It's not a two-way street. I assume she's not.
Oh, you assume she's not?
Right.
Yeah. When you... How you've been out of your place how long?
I moved in. Well, she was gone. We were... So, we weren't allowed to have dogs in our apartment. We got not just one. We later got, of course, a second one. Then the landlord says, this is too much. You're breaking your lease. We wanted out of there anyway. We found a place, washer dryer. We're very excited, right? Yeah, we're New Yorkers. Oh, we can...
Washer dryer is huge.
We don't have to do our own dishes. We were excited.
Yeah.
You know? Which, by the way, you do need a dishwasher. You can't use a washer and dryer for dishes, even if you put your dishes in towels. Just a little heads up. All right. A
little life hack right there.
Right, right. Yeah. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But, you know, you try. How did cavemen know what beer he's taking? You know, you got to try it, right? You have to try it all. So, we like this place, and then we talk about a separation. And then it's like, okay, since we have this place, she'll move into that place, and I'll stay at the apartment we had.
Oh, it was happening as you were going.
Coincidentally.
Yeah.
And then that's what happened. So I was by myself for quite some time. I don't know how many months. And then I just got a new place now.
Okay. So it's been a little while.
It's been a while. I'm bad with time. It's been a couple months.
It's not more than 2 months, I don't think. Since you told me about it anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither of us mentioned anything about that.
Yeah.
And I think that if I found out she was dating, I think I'd be fine with it. You know, I'd be fine with it for right now.
Would it almost be better? Like, okay, you made up your mind, so that helps me make up my mind.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think kinda. Yeah, totally.
Would you like to ask her right now to start dating?
No, I would not. No, would not do that. Nope.
Can you guys see yourself? I know it's like it just happened. Do you already see, like, can I date? Like, is that going to be weird? I know you downloaded
apps. Well, I'll tell you, I did the apps, and that made me go, no, I don't, like, it made me, like, it made me go, no, this is weird. It made me feel really weird.
I can tell people want me to date so that I see how hard it is, as if I've never dated before. I mean, you ask somebody, how's dating going? The answer is never great, or they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, there is, when you're married, there is this unspoken confidence that you have. I think that your single friends get so annoyed at. Like, I've been out of bars. When I was married and I was out of bars with my friends, I would just wingman them, like, completely, and, like, no problem. And then, like, I think partially they're in their heads, like, you just wait.
Right.
You just wait until it's you have to do this again. Yeah, right.
Oh, you're dating post 9/11. Okay.
I think that because I'm married, sometimes I give interesting advice to the friends that are dating. They're just like, yeah, they didn't text me, so I'm going to wait until they text it. I'm like, live your life, text them.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's not the way it works, asshole. Like, then they think that I'm this, and I think that I'm like, that's too much thinking.
It's too much. You know, they wait the 2 days thing. But then the 2 days thing, or whatever that was, you have to wait 3 days to text somebody. But then that became corny because everybody knew about it. So now it's like, just text whenever.
I think, you know, okay, so the first guy I ever, like, really, really dated, I was, like, 17, almost 18, and back then, nobody had any devices, maybe a beeper. So he had one upgrade for a beeper. You can actually call a service, tell them what you want to text, and he gets the text. This was huge,
yeah.
Right?
It was like a Sky Pager, yeah.
So after our first date, I got home, I called up the service, and I said, had a great time, thanks. And I sent that over to him, and then he was like, oh my God, you sent that. I thought, like, oh, that's okay. That's like, he calmed down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, you know.
It made him relax.
Yeah. And then there was, I think, one or two guys after that. While we were dating, I was doing kids' parties, and I had such a great time. I called him after one of the parties, and I got his answering machine. I didn't know what to say, so I just went, I'm a clown! And I hung up. I just think, like, dumb shit is better than, like, you know, the normal.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes it, you're like, it eases those nerves of dating. If somebody is so comfortable with it, it makes the other person way more comfortable.
What would she say to her girlfriends is your biggest problem?
Oh, geez. I don't even know.
That's what it is.
Yeah. That I don't know. That I don't know what my biggest problem is. I think it's that I'm not like, I'm not maybe the maturity thing, or like I'm getting better now, but I think it was like taking charge of my life with like health stuff and drinking and all that kind of stuff. But I've gotten better over time. So I don't know what, or it's a thing where it's like, I wasn't being honest enough, or I was, and who knows? Right. It could be, there's a lot of things wrong with me. It could be a multitude of things.
How often do you take drinking breaks?
I took one for a long time. I was barely drinking. And then recently, because of the, you know, what's going on, I think it was just that. I think I just started because I think I went to the wedding and I had drinks. And then from then on, I was kind of like, I was out at shows and I was drinking a bunch. And then now, past couple of days, I'm like, I have to cool off. But that was the longest break I took. I think right before I took that break, I think I drank almost every night because of comedy. So I'd at least have one beer a night for like at least like 7 years. I would guess it would be that. Because you'd be out. You get like early on in comedy, you're getting paid in drinks. So you're drinking those drinks. And I think just by just being used to it and that being the routine. And like I said, I'm a routine guy. I'm not talking about getting loaded every night. I'm just talking about having like a couple beers a night or like a beer. And then on the weekends, like when we first got together, we were getting drunk like every weekend.
Okay. Because I picked your ex listening going, oh, one beer. Okay.
No, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that's all I would have, but on the weekends you have a ton. And then during the week, I wasn't getting loaded every night, because then that's a full-fledged drinking problem. But like, I think it was like a quasi-drinking problem of like, oh, I'm used to this, and it's, you know, I'm hanging out, I'm doing comedy, I'm having a beer, it's not a big deal. But then when I stopped for like a good 2 weeks with no drinking, it was like a shock to the system. It was like, holy cow, I feel like I can see into the future. It was like insane.
I've noticed this. I'll bring up not drinking anymore, or I'll bring up my separation to somebody. And it seems like everybody's a drunk separating son of a gun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think everybody has, you know, well, if you think about it, most people either were separated or a lot of people are divorced. A lot of people break up all the time.
Guess what? There were some people who were separated and divorced at your weddings crying like Sean was. You guys just didn't notice those people at the time because you were like, isn't everybody so happy? Right now,
you're right.
Isn't everybody just wanting to get married right now?
It's all about perspective.
That's funny.
You're right. Yeah, it's a magical day, and somebody's like, losing their minds.
The wedding that you went to, they're like, this was the best day ever, and Sean's like, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm crying for your love.
Do you? There's like a feeling afterwards where you're like, oh, 2020 vision, which I think is ridiculous. Everyone's going through with the amount of information they knew at the time, and hindsight is ridiculous. But throughout the marriage, did you fluctuate between being good enough for feeling good enough for her and not feeling good enough for her?
I fluctuated. I don't know if I want to answer that.
Okay.
It just hit me as I'm starting to answer it. I don't want to answer it.
All right.
Thanks. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. And that might be it.
Is it weird to ask you why that question is hitting?
Because opens up way too personal stuff.
Okay.
I would say, yeah.
That you haven't
looked at. The short answer is, yeah, of course. I think I'm very insecure. So I think any relationship I have, I go on stage and I'm like, I'm not good enough for you people. So yeah, the short answer is yes. But that also delves into like what, like I said, like perception and what, like good enough, bad enough, or you know what I thought of the relationship I was going.
Who and where are you working that stuff out with?
What do you mean?
Like, are you going to therapy?
I have therapy. I go to therapy like once every other week.
And do you have?
I talk to friends on the phone.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Me and Dan St. Germain, which might be the best person to go to.
That's tough.
Yeah. He just.
But he's.
I tell him all my problems. He goes, well, just rock and roll. And I'm like, wait, what? That's not advice. No, I'm kidding.
He's riffing on the curtains in the room, and you're like, can I just tell you about?
Yeah.
Well, he's been through hell's and back.
Yeah. No. He's actually my best friend, and he's actually a really sensitive, sweet guy who has a lot of good insights. I was just kidding, but he just looks like he'd just be like, it's all about what, you know, just get on the road and keep trucking. Like,
I'll take that in. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll sleep on that.
Keith, has anyone been like a good go-to, like, you know what? No matter what I tell this person, I'm going to guess who that is in my head. No matter what I tell this person, they're going to like make fun of me, laugh a little, and then it's going to be over and I'm going to feel better.
No.
No.
Not the way you're saying. Who you? What do you?
Josh, think? Like,
I don't know. Nobody's laughing. Everybody's a fucking mess. I give you names, but that means they have problems too. No, I find I share this with somebody and they're like, yeah, I just killed my wife. Like, you were dying to say that.
So is it your experience that no matter who you say it to, it was a good idea?
To tell them?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I pick who I say it to. Hmm. You know, until I decided everybody.
Yeah, yeah, right. Same here. Today was my choice. Everybody gets to know. No.
But I do like, you know, I like the telling everybody in that, you know, you don't have to decide after you tell your couple of close friends. You don't have to decide, all right, who do I tell now? And how, because I feel like it's not fuck them, but I do want people to know so I don't feel like right. I'm some weird liar.
For full disclosure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I don't mind telling people, like, I don't mind talking about it on here because I'm like, I'm being honest about it. And on top of that, like, I have no bad, it really is amicable. I have no bad feelings right. about what's going on. I'm not like, she did this. She stole money from me. It's not scandalous. It's straight up like, it's just sad overall.
Do you guys almost wish that it was scandalous so you can have a one way or another, like a reason, an out?
I do in a way because I have a friend who is going through a tough divorce. I won't go into detail, but but it's still hard for them, but there's kids involved too, which makes it harder. But like, it should have been, way easier for them to turn it off, and it wasn't. But I think if it was a little bit more like I was, you know, it was a little bit more scandalous. Where it was like it was just so dysfunctional.
Like the difference turn around
and
be between, like,
I'll just walk away, and I'll just split it up and walk away.
Like the difference between flirting and somebody having sex with someone. Like the
If you
catch someone sort of like, I think there's an uneasiness between you and this other person, or you definitely had sex with this other person.
Right. 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 But I think that, I think this makes it way more of a gray area. This makes it way more of the way it is now. It makes it way more of like we don't know.
Yeah, I'd rather,
because if it's scandalous, you're just like, oh, I know.
Yeah, I see that with like Keith, you and Kat, because, you know, up until now, all we know is that she doesn't close the cabinets, you know, and it's like, they broke up because one liked the cabinets closed and, you know.
And sometimes that's all you need. But sometimes there's like, I think we have very similar situations. It's not a one particular instance. It's been going on for a while. It probably, like you said, with 2020 hindsight, you probably should have caught it back a while ago, but you didn't. That certain things didn't get better. Certain things got worse, but it's just an overall like muted feeling. It's not like you did this one thing or you do these three things that are really fucked up and you're not going to change.
Are you relating to that a lot?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's an overall thing. It's just like, it's not here's a detailed list of everything why this went wrong.
It's time to make a list. Here we go, guys. Let's see if we match.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think at different times throughout the relationship, we both didn't address what was bothering us.
Right.
At different times.
Right. Yeah. I think the more honest you get, that's when because you feel better, but at the same time, you're like, oof, but now we get to address these issues. And that's what happened with us. I think there's things we didn't address early on. And then we got more and more into it. And then the more I tried to better myself as a person. She was doing the same. She was kind of helping me with that. Like she's a very positive person. She's great. And, she was helping me with that. And then the more therapy I did, the more I was like, oh yeah, I'm being honest with myself. And then the more we would talk, it's like stuff just comes out, you know? So that's the way it is. Not to be too much of a downer.
No, I get you. No, you see these people. They get married and they fight on their wedding day. They have it figured out. It's about sharing what's on your mind.
Yeah.
I was saying the other day how I my new neighbors and I, it's music to my ears, but they fight outdoors. Like some guy was using a garden hose and she's like, you fat fuck, you're getting everything wet. It's like, you bitch, you and I picture telling them, yeah, I'm going through a divorce, and them going, yeah, it's tough, you have to communicate.
Preferably at loud volumes.
Right
right in your ear next to the wall.
I mean, it is funny how, you know, becoming sober, you realize how everybody's drunk. You know what I mean? Being separated, you realize even more all the ridiculous relationships out there.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not deflecting. You just like, are you guys kidding me?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Keith, you're separated. Yeah. Why aren't you?
You automatically become the expert. Right. You should be separated. You should be separated.
You become Oprah of separating. And you get a separation. And you get a separation.
I mean, somebody shared a story with us. I mean, it was just horrendous about this couple that's still together. And me and Kat would look at each other like, we weren't like that, right? Like, not at all. All right. Well, good for them. God bless.
Yeah.
All right. Let me mention this, please. Latote. I'm talking about how you get clothes. Come here, Andrea. Andrea is also a big fan of Latote. Clothes come to your house. This is, honest to God, some days you go, you know what? It is 2017. Okay. Explain Latote. What happens and how do you work it? All right.
I love it. It's great. I actually was not skeptical, but I used to work in fashion, so I'm very discerning, I'll mm-hmm. say, about things like this, because I always feel like, oh, you're going to send me a box of shit. I'm so particular about the clothing that I wear. What you're going to send me is probably going to be like generic, and that's fine, but I did do the trial because I saw all the cool stuff Hemda was wearing. And I
okay,
was
so
like,
here's the thing about
look
that.
Look at this.
She is a fashionista. Most days we both come in here and she's like, it's you guys again. Then I walk in with my
schlubs.
Yeah, with my Latote and she's like, what's this? And I'm like, they're sending me clothes now. It's getting better.
Yeah. I mean, they do a great job even with you. You don't really care about fashion so much. I mean, you dress, you have your own sense of style, but they pick up very quickly what you like and they yeah. send you stuff that you wouldn't normally pick up for yourself maybe.
Yeah, and I'm wearing like stuff that looks like I cared, but I am the most comfortable person yeah. in the universe.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
That's I'm crazy. Wearing fucking pajamas right now, but I look like a movie star. I mean, my tits are kind of out. I'm wearing like this jumpsuity thing, but it's like,
I love it.
It's really easy. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to try it. Cause there's also, I like to work out. I work out a lot.
Well, you gotta look like a movie star.
Right. So I always like run out of gym clothes. I'm always wearing schlubby shit. And I always see like the girls in their cool right? workout outfits. I'm like, I don't want to spend all that money for that dumb workout gear. But I saw that they had that too. And I'm like, okay, that's worth it to me because I can try it on and send it back. And so I did a trial and they nailed it. I gotta say, I'm definitely like very humbled. And it also, you can choose what you like. So sometimes I'll take their suggestions. Sometimes I'll get stuff on my own. And it's great.
So they send you a box of clothes. You keep what you want, if you mm-hmm. want anything.
Yeah.
And you get a discount and then you send the rest back.
Totally.
Even after you tried it on, you don't yeah. have to launder it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the best part.
Yeah.
I take it off no matter how dirty and it gets dirty.
I'm getting my period all over everything.
Go to latote.com. That's LETOTE.com and get started for as low as $39 a month. Enter promo code KATG at checkout to get 50% off your first month. Once again, you sign up, you'll receive your completely customized tote within days. Wear what you want, return everything in the mail when you're done, and repeat all month long. Again, that's latote.com. Enter your code KATG and feel fabulous with fashion delivered right to your door. They have clothing for your tits in, for your tits out.
Right?
For you.
They have the jumpsuit I'm wearing right now. They have designers who are featured on their website, which I liked. I think it's Olivia Coppo is the one that I'm wearing her jumpsuit. So they have like the regular clothes with her, which are really good brands. And then they'll have a designer who's featured who's designing for, I think, Latote specifically.
Shit.
So it's really cool. I not to, you know, fashion people are snobbish, but I was pleasantly surprised. And
that counts.
It's fun to like get the package too. It's like Christmas.
Yeah, it's like closed Christmas.
Yeah. It's great.
I'm excited that I introduced Andrea to a fashion thing. I'm going to put that on my resume.
All right.
Do you still do it?
Oh yeah. 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 I love it. I was like, I'm not going to buy anything. They're not going to get me. And then I wore this thing and I'm just like,
are you got me, motherfucker.
Kidding me.
Yeah.
Oh God. It's like my favorite thing now.
All right. Latote.com. Use the code. We get it. It's good.
We're fabulous.
Hayden, be sure to use the code KTG. Andrea, thank you very much.
Thank you guys.
Sean, in your stand up, and this was some time ago, but I know you were talking about being a doorman.
Mm-hmm.
And you got fired from being a doorman.
That's true.
You thought you can just leave the door open.
Yeah, the real story is I got back from my dinner break And the door, we used to leave the door open all the time, like mm-hmm. in the summertime, and just prop it open. They had a revolving door and like a regular door, and prop open the regular door, and people just walk in and out. And most people didn't care.
You really life hacked it.
I life hacked it. I got rid of my main function of the job.
Hey guys, I'm not saying I'm going for an executive position, but what if the door's just always open? okay. No.
That, yeah.
No, I'll go out and do it. Right. Okay.
So the way we open the doors for people, you were opening a revolving door. So you're literally, when you're opening the doors, you're just pushing a revolving door. It's the dumbest thing.
Is it like pushing a woman's seat in, but meanwhile they're doing the work anyway?
Pretty much. Okay. Yeah. Maybe
except
older people.
Except you get paid.
Yeah. Exactly. You get tipped for it. And one day I got back from my dinner break and the door was open. I guess I actually didn't open it, but I didn't shut it either. And this guy comes down from...
It's quite the trial. Who opened it? Who shut it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's an open and shut case.
Yeah, it's the few good men of the doorman. Like, you can't handle the truth. Was the door open or not?
You know what? I opened the door and I opened all the fucking doors. What? Why am I being arrested? What'd I say?
Yeah.
They really broke him down in a second, didn't they?
So... there was a party going on upstairs, one of the tenants of the building. This guy comes down with a couple of his friends. I think he's joking, and he goes, out of curiosity, why is the door open and the air conditioning's on inside here? And I go, I don't know, the breeze? I just said something stupid because I thought he was kidding. Yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know. And he freaked out, and then turned out it was the president of the company who owned the building. And he goes, I'm talking to your boss tomorrow, and that's it.
Then he has a lot. For a president of a company, you have so much time to get the doorman fired because the breeze happened. Come on, that's a little ego trip.
Also, total ego trip.
P.S., before you continue, you're a dick. Like, because you got a job where they pay you to open the door, and you're like, breeze, man.
Well, no, you know what it was? It was not even like... A lot of people just liked using that door. To us, it wasn't a big deal. We were like, and also like, another thing was like, you'd have packages and stuff coming through. It was the door he was talking about was next to the doorman station. So mostly it wasn't people doing it. It was like from the building. It was like UPS or like people getting picked up or like whatever. So it wasn't like,
how long were you working?
We still went over to the door. People walked over to the revolving door. If you want me to push the freaking revolving door, I'll push it for you.
But he would ask them, should I push the revolving door?
Should I push it? Can you do it? Can you make it?
How long were you working as a doorman?
For like 2 years.
Okay, so I heard it was a really incredible position, pays really well.
By the way,
well.
1 second.
That's another myth, but go ahead.
When the guy says, I'm going to talk to your boss tomorrow,
And what he means is my boss's boss, because that's who he talks to, okay. Which is kind of nuts.
Do you say right to him then, like, should I not come in tomorrow?
No, I was like stunned, because he literally seemed like he was drunk and he was just joking around. Right. And that's the way he said it. He laughed when he said it. And I was like, wait, what? I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he's like, yep, that's it. That's it. And he's freaking out. And he's like already walking out by that point. And the next day, he called my boss's boss, who called my boss, who brought me in and fired me like the next time I was working.
Did they give you anything on the way out?
No, nothing.
They held the door open for you?
But the crazy part, yeah, they
helped. You're like, no, I got it. I left it open.
Already, see how like it's propped open already. You know, what did happen, though, one thing I don't say on stage is that my friends that I worked with, they told all the people in the building. So the board from the building, they liked me. So they wrote a letter to the company and got my job back. But it was embarrassing for those guys. So they waited 3 months till things quieted down and they brought me in again and they go, yeah, it's not working out. And I go, wow. Is this about what happened 3 months ago? And they go, you're just embarrassed? And he goes, yeah. And I go, all right. And I left. But actually, it was a good thing I left because I wasn't doing comedy yet and I probably wouldn't be doing comedy if I stayed there. So it was like, you know, it was meant to be.
Were you with your wife at the time?
No. Okay. This is 2000. I met my wife in 2008 2008. This is like 2004 or three.
Okay, because I'm trying to figure out the catalyst of her hating you. And that could be it when you can't keep a doorman job, you know? So you're saying that the money isn't that great.
The money is okay. And I don't know what the rate is now, but I'll tell you, when I was there, if you weren't full-time, when you were like probationary and you were not full, you were filling, it was 14. And then when you were full-time, it was 18 an hour. But this is also a while ago. But
what about tips?
Tips, that's the thing. It was a 40-story building. So when I was there, I made a few grand. And just when I was there for a few, when I was filling, I made like $5,000. And I was just there for like a year. If you're there for like 10 years, you make like an extra like 20 grand a Christmas in tips and cash, like an extra $20,000. And if you're the super, you can make like 50, 60. You can make like an insane amount of money.
Because
In December for Christmas, because a lot of them, and throughout the year, you're making tips. So like we get people taxis, you're making tips. So you can walk away what turns out to be 10 to 20 bucks a day, plus on top of what you get for Christmas. That's where the money is. And it's a do nothing job. So you can get out at three, go back to where you live and get a second job and make two incomes. That's what a lot of guys I knew did. A lot of them were supers in smaller buildings.
Oh, it's such a good job that I can get a second job. Yeah. Oh boy, the American
right,
dream.
Right, right. Well, that's what people think. But people are told, oh, I heard it's a great gig. And it's like, no, they're just trying to like soften the fact that it's a demeaning job. They're like, oh, that's a good gig, right? Right. What you're really saying is like, that sounds shitty. So I'm going to say it's a great gig when it's not.
I feel like that is a good gig because it is a do nothing job,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and yep, so pretty much.
It's your choice to find it demeaning or not. Like, I know that people talk down to you. What, they don't talk down to you as a comic? I'm talking down to you right now. paid you in drink tickets.
As a comic, you have more control. I don't let people. Now I'm at the point in comedy where I don't let people. If you try to make me feel uncomfortable, I make you feel uncomfortable right back. After a show, before a show, whenever, I don't care. I'll do it.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's great. I did it in Pennsylvania.
You guys, if you go out to see him, make sure you say hello.
Yeah. Well, no, say hello, but be nice. Just be nice. And I won't be a dick back to you. Because that's what happened. I had a guy.
Open the door for him. Do something nice.
Yeah, open the door. I'll prop it open and you just open it. I had a guy. I did a show with Mike Gaffney. Do you guys know Mike Gaffney?
Of course,
everybody knows him.
So funny, and he's my buddy. And we did a show together. And the guy comes up, this old guy, and there was this like terrible club where people were there for like charity event. Like nobody was comedy fans, and we both did really well. If I don't do well, I'm insecure enough where I'll agree with you if you say I didn't do well. But this guy comes up and he goes to Mike. He goes, "You did okay," and to me, he goes, "You didn't." And I just looked at the guy.
What was the question?
No, meaning he just said that. He just said that. And I looked at him. I go, fuck off. Take off. And the guy, as he's walking away, he's looking back. I'm like, come back. I'll fight you right now. Come back. I'm done. I'm done being nice. Because it used to be I would glad hand and be like, okay, that's your opinion, whatever. Now I'm like, come back. I'll fight you, old man. I don't care if you're 70. You don't do that to people. You don't treat people like that. You don't do it.
Right. And then he found out it's the president of the club.
The club owner.
Now, it's interesting that you go to, I'll fight you. Are you ready to fight someone?
Well, am I ready to fight? Yeah. At that moment, yeah. I was, because I'm so annoyed at that.
When was the last physical fight you got into?
Oh, no. That's a long time ago. I don't really fight anybody anymore. He wasn't going to, whatever. But the last physical fight I got into was probably like a drunk fight. Probably like back in 2009, whatever it was, when I was drinking way, way more than I am now. And it's always drunk fights. I don't know. I don't think I've ever been in a sober fight in my life.
Keith?
Yeah. No, I don't mind.
Sober fights?
I'll go back and forth. Absolutely. Is it smart to get, let's say you get a job in November as a doorman, get two or three jobs and quit in January and just collect a sweet, sweet holiday quiche?
No, because you build up those tips. So when you first start, you don't make as much as everybody else tips wise. So and then when you're there for like 5 years, you're making a...
When you open the door nice for them for the 5 years.
When they know you. That's when it is. You get to know everybody in that building.
I was thinking they would just see me and go, oh shit, I missed you.
You mean if you go and then you come back?
No, just go. No, like literally, I thought I tipped everybody. I didn't tip you. Here's a 20. Sorry about that.
That happened. That happened when I was there because I wasn't there for a while. So there was people that tipped me, like that gave me envelopes. And then there was people like... Oh, yeah, Sean, hey, what's up? And exactly what you said, they gave me 20.
What if I put on a tux and during this holiday season, I just stand outside doors?
That's a great idea.
They'll call the cops on you.
Okay. No, I'll just videotape it. Sean, please. Let's do that. KDGTV.
Am I being detained?
But I'm a white guy. What?
How is this happening?
I'm just opening doors.
Were you ever asked to do extra, such as walk a dog?
Walk a dog, yes. Walk a dog, water plants, feed fish, all that stuff.
And do they
bring up dry? Well, dry cleaning we bring up anyway. What?
Do they tip you extra?
Yeah, they do.
What's
so they give you? They probably give you like while you're working. So you work daily. Like, hey, can you come in the afternoon and walk the dog? You probably get 100, 150 for the week or something. It's pretty decent.
So you're coming in off your shift to walk their dog.
Sometimes guys did that, but then sometimes if you could, you fit it in during. Like sometimes what you do is you'd go and you'd
who work. Opens the door? You're out walking a dog. I just keep banging my head into the door.
They got two guys.
Back.
They got two guys up front.
Okay, yeah, I hope so.
There's no traffic. There's no bang. There's no backup when you get back up there. There's just 50 people in front. Like, what do we do? It's revolving.
It's revolving. Who is the biggest prick in your building? Other than the guy who got you fired, who owns the building?
Oh, there was this guy, old guy that...
It's so funny. By the way, this old guy that he's about to tell a story for, there was how many people in that building? At least 60 units?
There was more than 60 units.
You remembered that guy in 5 seconds. Here we go.
Yeah. This guy, he had a black lab dog, and black labs, nothing against them, they're the best dogs, they're great dogs. And he was... This is what you had in that building. You had people that lived in the dormant building because they wanted their apartments in that building. And you had other ones that purposely lived in a dormant building so they could boss around dormant. Mm. And this guy, literally, you could never do anything right for this guy. He would complain on a monthly basis. You get one complaint from this guy, from somebody on somebody in the staff would be like, whatever it was, say it was 32B, whatever his apartment was. He complained about me because I didn't do this right or didn't do that right. And you were doing everything fine.
I guess that's the good news because everyone knows, oh yeah, he complains about everybody.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying about the demeaning part. You get complained about, it doesn't matter if you don't complain. The super that we have is like, yeah, but he complained. It's going in your thing.
Oh, shit.
So, he knew what he was doing.
He would say, open the door, close the door.
Close the door. Open it. Now sit down. Stand up. Sit down.
Did anyone do anything to
get
that
get back in your hole.
blow your whistle. Do you want a cab, sir? No. Blow it.
Blow the whistle. Oh, I can only do it if you need a cab, sir.
Did anyone get that level of demeaning? Like, why didn't you open the door for me?
No, not that level of demeaning. I never had anybody, no, not to me, because I was like, I would just run over and open the door when that was the case, or like, you know, put them through the door. But like, I think people would get nasty if like, if you, it was never like if you weren't doing anything, that was the case. Some people get nasty if you were in the middle of something and they wanted you to open the door because they had stuff in their hands, but you were literally like tending to get in somebody's dry, whatever it was. And they'd be like, and they would just get really nasty. Like it didn't happen that often. There was a lot of cool people in the building, but it didn't happen that often. But mostly it was like, it was just the vibe of like, hey, you're a second class citizen in this, in this situation right now. Like I can get you fired, you know, just like that guy did. And he didn't have to do that.
What sucks about being a doorman, I have to imagine, is taking your job home. You get home and you have to open your own door. And you're like,
multiple doors on the way home.
Right.
It just.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why he liked the subway so much. It was doo-doo. Yeah. Oh, they opened it.
My wife goes, can you hold the door for me? I go, I leave work at work, all right? Can I leave work at work?
That's why you guys broke up. You can't open the door for anybody anymore.
Yeah.
He was.
That'd be a good movie or like a show of a guy who just bugs out. And he's like, he hasn't left his room because he can't open doors anymore.
Yeah, Subaru commercial and the hatchback closes itself and Sean's like, oh my God. Can you imagine? You press a button and wait an hour and it opens itself.
Yeah. Are we in the future? What's happening?
What happened with the original automatic hatchbacks? Did they cut off people's heads? You know what I mean? Ding.
Yeah,
and then you just wait an hour for it to open. I closed the Uber back and they're like, it does it itself. Like, I know, but I got to be at work today.
I'm helping it along.
Right? I'm like, I'm pushing it, but pretending I'm not. Like ever so gently. Are you a wrestling fan?
I'm not. I was as a kid, but I'm not now. Okay.
You know Ric Flair nonetheless.
Of course.
He ended up having part of his bowels removed. He had some kind of intestine compacted shit. Mm. And he was put into a medically induced coma.
Oh, my God.
And he put out a video to say that he's okay. Ric Flair, if you recall, he does this move where he's the woo.
Yeah, the woo guy, yeah.
He gets
pretty boy Ric Flair, right?
Right. The nature boy.
Nature boy.
But he was a pretty boy. And when he would get smacked, supposedly unconscious, he would just start walking, stumbling like Frankenstein, and then plop right on his face. You can see a supercut online. So
you gotta check out that supercut because I was like, wrestling is so ridiculous. But then when you're removed a little bit and somebody goes check out a supercut of this guy and the way that he falls, Oh my God. Oh my God.
In that context, yo, this is hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, he gets banged into a rope and then he just starts walking and then right on his face. I mean, this, I'm surprised he's not dead from that.
I used to do that with clowning, like, boop, boop, boop.
Right. And then, of course, he won because he was one of the super ones. Here's Ric Flair saying that he's not dead yet.
Hey, to all my fans out there, let it be known worldwide that Nature Boy, woo, and back up and running.
The woo used to be a little stronger. I would like everybody to know.
Yeah, I think you need all your bowels for a good woo.
He's like, to be the best, you got to beat the best, and I'm the best. Woo! And it was an honest woo.
That's an emphysema woo right there.
Yeah, this one.
Hey, to all my fans out there, let it be known worldwide that Nature Boy, woo, is back. Look, I want to tell all my fans out there, thank you for all the love, support, and I will see you in the very, 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 very near future. Woo!
Aw, that's very sweet, though.
It is nice, but the doctor told him, Rick, you only have 7 woos left before you go. And he goes, thanks, doc. Woo! It's like, now oh, 6. No. Yeah, oh, no. Sean Donnelly, the website is SeanDonnellyComedy.com. Is he on the market, off the market? Who's to say? But give it a go. You don't, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Hit when me
you,
up.
Who knows when you catch him? The Twitter account is at Shawnee Time, SeanyTime. And his podcast is called Defend Your Movie. People come on and they have a movie that everybody's panning. And he says, no, I'll tell you why it was good and why you're stupid.
Yeah, do you guys want to do it?
I would happily do
what
it.
What would you defend?
I see everything ever made. What would I defend? I'll tell you what I saw that got, I don't know how many people saw this though, because it's fairly independent, but it was called The Book of Henry. And I think it was one of the greatest movies ever made. And I see
remember the title.
Such a low score. And it's one of these movies where you think the trailer gives it all away. The boy's a genius and tells his mom how to kill the neighbor who's fucking his daughter. And that's not even the whole movie. It's
oh, really?
There's even so much more.
I'm going to check it out.
Which one should I defend, Keith? You hate all my movies.
Drop Dead Fred.
I mean, it's goddamn.
Drop
it.
Dead Fred. The only problem with that is that it's a comedy. Comedies, I have an issue. People get mad
it's
at me on
a
podcast.
Comedy. Because, it's very deep.
Is it very deep? Drop Dead Fred? It's like, with what's her name? Isn't Phoebe Cates in it?
Yes.
Yes. And she, it's like her imaginary friend,
right? I'll tell you why he thinks I should defend this, because everyone thinks it's a comedy, and I've cried through it every single time I watched it.
Oh, so it's not a comedy?
It is.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Just to me, it's like, you know, he represents this, that, and the next, and, you know, she's going through this, and this means that, and, like, I just put all that together with this movie, and everyone else just sees, like, a clown bouncing off the walls, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I defend the depth of the movie that may or may not exist. It may only exist for me.
It might be a good one to do, then, because then you find it deep when nobody else does.
I like other movies, but I think everyone else agrees with that. I recently saw Frozen, really good. I'll defend that all day long.
Well, Frozen was a huge hit, yeah. Frozen will be easy.
Have you
can you defend every little girl in the country singing it 20,000 times a day?
No one can.
Defend parents' eardrums.
can you go and defend it to parents that are like, I want to murder that song?
Have you ever seen Heavenly Creatures?
Is that with Warren Beatty? No, yeah. With, oh no, I know, I've heard of it, I never saw it.
With the Titanic girl, what's her name?
Kate Winslet.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the other one who's now in a lot of independent comedies, I never remember anyone's name. It's it goes in between their fantasy life with each other and their reality, and so they cut to, you know, so they're making these art pieces, it's a long time ago, they're making these art pieces out of Play-Doh or clay together, and then in their fantasy those people come to life. And
oh, really?
Yeah, there's, I don't want to spoil the
but
end,
it's pretty critically acclaimed though, right?
Or
it's
is not, it?
I'm not sure. I remember it when it came out.
See, Keith, I like really good movies.
Good job.
Thank you.
I think it's critically acclaimed.
Nice. Yeah, I would defend Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, that's kind of an easy one to do.
Well, I want everybody on my side.
Well, you make it easy for yourself.
Yeah. Come into this show where everybody hates you.
You should defend the movie that you were in, She's Crushed.
Oh, that is a gem. But everybody, again, critically acclaimed.
Well, somebody just did...
All our listeners were the critics.
Somebody just did Entourage the movie, which is like a hard one to do because it's a terrible movie. But he did it. Matt Goldich did it. But he did it a really good way.
Did you see that movie?
I did enjoy the movie. Now, I was drunk, but I liked the movie a lot.
But it was fun. It's not a good movie. fun to watch. Fun to watch is different from like a good movie because you can go after it for like
I'm not saying
crappy dialogue and
I'm not saying a college course could study it. I'm telling you, I was laughing.
I'm saying a college course could study Drop Dead Fred and I can teach it.
Yeah, Drop Dead Fred 101.
Yep.
Sean, if you want to see him live in the great New York City, go to the Fat Black Pussycat. That is September. What day is that? The 13th.
13th is Wednesday.
September 13th at 8:30 p.m.
Great location. Yes.
It's cool, yeah. The Comedy Cellar has three rooms now. So they have the regular Comedy Cellar, then they have Village Underground downstairs, which is great. It's really big. And they have like a smaller room in the back of Fat Black Pussycat they've been doing a bunch of shows at. And I'm going to do like a longer set on that night.
Nice. Yeah. Congrats.
It'll be good.
It's a fun neighborhood.
It is. Whenever I meet tourists, that's where I tell them to go.
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff over there. You can do anything pretty much.
Yeah, you kind of land on something over there. Good food.
Food.
An atmosphere.
Music, comedy, the park, like a million things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You going to talk to the audience about slaying puss?
I am. I'm going to come out with sunglasses on. Mm-hmm. I'm basically going to be Dice. I'm Dice Clay. I'm going to be Dice Clay.
Go on stage with a mop. Put on the corner and go, you'll see. And then start your act.
You're so good. Oh, my God.
Sean, great seeing you again.
Great to see you guys. Thank you for having me, guys.
Absolutely. We'll go out, hit on some broads.
Let's do it.
Don't forget to share the show.
We'll just hit on broads and then cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will go.
So I am liked.